Hey everyone, today's episode is from a fireside chat with my good friend, former Playbook guest, Mikael Brandrup, the world famous artist, and he's also a pretty good entrepreneur as well. The two of us are going to discuss entering the flow state and why it only takes one person to build an audience. Tweet me at David Meltzer your favorite takeaway from today's episode and check the show notes to see how you can text me or email me at any time. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. When we met, I thought one thing. It's amazing. One of my mentors, who none of you probably remember, a guy named Dennis Waitley, he had this great line, planting seeds under trees that you'll never sit under. And my rhythm and journey has been meeting people like Michael that I'm so excited to meet, to understand the vibration, the frequency, the awareness that he has in understanding, especially about flow state, because all great artists, great writers, great speakers, they're not really great. They just have the capability to allow the truth to come through them, and they add their own appreciation to it. But that's why I was so excited to come at the closing of this unbelievable showing and this great gallery to talk about and help people understand that flow state, because it's more than just flowing and channeling the actual truth or the higher vibration, your higher self or a frequency, but it's letting it come through you, not for you or to you. You're not a victim. It's not just for you in some scarce universe, but it's limitless infinity. And the better we are of understanding what's coming through us and then capable of clearing the interference between everyone else, because we put judgments and conditions and separation between not only us and everyone else through these insecurities, this ego-based needs to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, grace, guilty, resentful, all the wasted energy that all of us have shared together. If I could just take, for example, the energy that all of us have put into being worried and put it into something productive, we probably would all be billionaires. Guaranteed, that's how much people worry. And all worrying is wishing for what you don't want. And I wish somebody would have told me that when I was young. So I wanted to have a quick conversation with Michael, because I think he has a very deep understanding of allowing things to come through him for others. In other words, the flow state. So, Michael, I want to start with that. What is your definition or understanding of the flow state?
First of all, thank you for the introduction.
First of all, he made me sit on this side so he could show off his tattoos. Like... he had to show off his tattoos. That's why he sit on that side. Never had that happen to me before.
You know what? To sit with you here in this chair, it's like naturally brings me back to when I first got over here, and also to see my pieces in this space, because it has been on the way for many years in the making, and blood, sweat, tears, doubt, worries, you know, is a natural part of all that. And I'm always looking forward, you know, this show is coming to an end, and it's new opportunities, and I'm really enjoying this moment right now. And reflecting with you here means a lot to me, especially with you, because the way we met and everything is just so like real. We were just like, yeah, vibrating on the same frequency, as you said earlier. But flow state is kind of my way of inviting people into a universe. Maybe some of you here have already experienced flow state. Maybe you do it every day, or maybe it's new to you. But David and I here will try to give our version of it. I will probably be more in my visual and emotional way, and you will probably be in like in your own way as well. But flow state to me is be in total absorption of what you do, getting totally immersed in enjoyment. And what I'm trying to tell with this exhibition is like the mantra revolves around the transformation of your sense of time. Because, and ambiguously, this has two kind of meanings. One meaning is how these pieces were created, but also how they are to be looked at. And I hope that you just for a couple of seconds, maybe longer, if you want to stay longer, disappear into a universe and forget time, worries, what is going on in this crazy world. And I wanted to give this show to LA after everything we've been through. I met up with Dave on an IG live when we were like half in the pandemic, and we talked about, yo man, what are you doing? I'm doing this, you know. We were just like staying like super focused and looked at new opportunities, new directions. And it was all unknowingly a preparation for this moment that we're sitting, it brought us to this moment right now, right? So no doubt, everything you see in here is something that you step deep into my mind and deep into like many years of preparation. And I hope by telling this story that you can realize that everything is possible, because my first studio over here 7 years ago was at a friend's backyard, not even a friend, some guy I linked up with on Instagram. And I asked him if I could paint my pieces in his backyard, and I couldn't even, like, they were just standing outside. Luckily, the weather is good in LA, so I didn't have to worry about it was raining in that backyard when I was painting my pieces. That would not have been possible in Denmark, where I originally am from. So it's just been like such a crazy journey, I always get like super like emotional when I'm talking about my art, because I literally wake up every day being super grateful. David taught me to be even more grateful, challenging me to say thank you every morning and every evening. And that was actually tough, you know, because you think you're so grateful, but are you? Are you doing that every day? Are you implementing that in your routines every day? You think, oh yeah, I'm so grateful. And it's easy to tell people that you're grateful, but to implement that in your everyday life, that's a real challenge. And it's easy to say that I'm doing all this stuff, I'm crushing it, but actually be mastering your mind and wake up every morning. And because my life was, the first 2 years over here, I was actually still smiling even though my art was not selling and I was doing horrible. My twin brother, who's with my best friend and my manager and the brain behind all this, love you, brother, supported me all along. I don't know why. He just saw something I didn't see, but he believed in me. And yeah, I just want to thank him as well. But David, I would love to hear you talk a little about, because we talked about when you were here last time about flow state, and you, yeah, you have some different angles. I would love to hear that.
Sure. I think one of the greatest paradigm shifts that you can have is to understand what you actually are. When you talk about the flow state, you know, I spent so much of my life trying to get things or be something. And particularly, I see a lot of people, they tell me, I want to be happy. I'm not happy, especially now. I want to be healthy. I'll see someone that may be overweight or be sick. I want to be healthy. Or I want to be wealthy is a huge one that people approach me with. Like, how can I make money, man? You're so good at it. I just want to be rich. And I get that because I grew up that way. Or worthy. Right? So many people may not articulate it, but one of the, you know, best coaching things that I have, people ask me, man, you coach so much. You do one-on-one free coaching, right? You know, what do you do if somebody asks you something you don't know the answer? Well, if it's personal coaching, I always have my go-to. I know what the problem is, Curtis. You're not worthy. You don't think you're worthy. And it strikes a chord to everyone. Because at our core, we all have some sort of interference between us and what we already are. So the flow state to me was, number one, to understand what I'm connected already to and what I am. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. And I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? It's a completely different mindset in the flow state, because if I'm out of the flow, out of the powerful source of light, love, and light, you have in your pinky physically proven enough energy to light up all of Manhattan. So what are we doing with all that light? What are we doing? We're interfering with it, obviously. And every once in a while, you see an athlete, a musician, an artist, a speaker, an author, an entrepreneur, tap into that light. And you're like, whoa, you feel it. You are doing something that you have lessened or decreased or diminished, or even at a moment or an instant dissolved all interference between you and the greatest source. Because you are already everything that you want to be. You just have to figure out what are you doing to interfere it? And for me, the flow state is the ability to access or clear that interference in whatever degree that we can. And it's not a certainty. It's not something that we can do all the time. I always tell people, I try to spend minutes and moments in interference, not days, not weeks, not months, not years. And I've spent days, weeks, and months and years interfering what I already was trying to be something I already was by shifting my perspective and paradigm to clear the flow. I'm already connected to it. I said earlier in the meetup, I said, I spent so much of my life trying to get over the mountain, around the mountain, through the mountain. And all I had to realize was that which made the mountain is inside of me. Why do I need to go over it? That's what created that mountain is me. I don't need to go through it over under it. It is me. I have that power, the same power. And when you talked about your brother, which really resonated with me, I look at the art and I think hardest part about being an artist is being in a gallery and listening to people talk to about your art, especially if they don't know who you are, because all they see is your name all the time. And you hear someone say, I don't get it. This is stupid. The interesting thing is, it just takes one person to say, wow, this may be the most inspirational piece of art I've ever seen. Because what that one person says to me is that if you are connecting to that one person at that frequency, there's many more. And the greatest thing about social media today, there's a lot of negative things or things that interfere with us, is that you have access to 7 billion people and growing. And if there's one person that loves your book, loves your painting, loves your podcast, loves your speeches, loves your TV shows, loves you, then there's many more. But what's gonna come along with it are a bunch of people that aren't in your flow, that are gonna look at your books, your podcasts, your paintings and go, bullshit, I don't like it. And I used to not want to do it anymore. I used to not want to do it when something, this is, I don't get it. I used to want to quit. And then there was somebody, man, they'd stand in line for an hour after you did a speech. Even though 2/3 of the audience you saw were looking at their phone, was not connected to you, didn't get you. Then there's that one person who said, wow, you changed my life. And I remind myself, that one turns to two, two turns to four, four turns to eight, and it takes time.
But it's so interesting what you say here, because I know that crazy path that we all on, and my path over here, because I moved to LA all by myself and was over here by myself for the first 2 years. And I don't know anybody and I had no network or nothing, but I never felt alone. I never felt, and that's what you're saying here, that you have one liking, what you say, of five people or whatever, but you know that you are on the right path when you don't feel alone, because you have so much in yourself. That brings me back to vibrating on the same frequency, because people, they can feel that, that you have so much energy and you are so relaxed, just like being yourself. I was over here for 2 freaking years, not knowing anybody. My brother, he came over, you know, every now and then, of course, you know, but he was also occupied with the business in Europe. So I was here and I started my third business when I was 22 years old. And it's like, I moved over here when I was 30, we sold that business back in Denmark so I could live through my art. And it's like, I forgot what it was like to start up from scratch. And I have never moved to the other side of the world to start from scratch, and definitely not in the art world, which I didn't know anything about. But I just think there's so much power in like living an unpredictable life and embracing the unknown. That is so powerful. When you break out of your habits and you get comfortable with the uncomfortable, then you will see like tremendous growth. I can't even recognize myself from when I first moved over here. I love who I am, but I also see myself as a lifetime student. And that's why I'm seeing all you people here, because to be totally honest with all of you, when I was back in Denmark, and I have one of my day jobs, because I to find my passion, I went through a lot. And it took me 30 years to find out, oh wait, I think I will pursue my art, like my art career now. It took me 30 years. And through those day jobs, I was terrified to stand in front of just like two people or just one person that I didn't know and just have a conversation. But I also knew that I will not go anywhere if I don't face those fears. And my biggest fears was to stand in front of people. However, I feel that I envisioned this moment right here, right now. I think I saw it like 10 years ago when I was the most terrified of standing in front of people. And I said, one day I will sit somewhere in the world and I will just be relaxed and talk about my passion with people I appreciate. And that's like a very important part of my journey. And it's also how this show came to life, because there's a lot of elements in this exhibition that are first timers. The bronze sculpture in the window, I never worked with bronze before. I never created like a freestanding sculpture. I've never like trying to really tell you the full story of what is going on in my mind by covering the walls with my art as well. But it just feels like this journey has been going, it's so crazy, because I feel it's been going on like forever to get to this now. But at this, it's a crazy feeling, because I'm also feeling at the same time I'm just getting started. You probably feel the same, right? You're just getting started, right? You're just getting started.
It's so cute.
I hope it will feel like that for the rest of my life, because will I ever get, when I get there, when I arrive, I can finally relax. You know what? I don't want to arrive. I want to be on a consistent journey. Maybe when I'm getting a little older, I might want to take it a little slower. Maybe not a hundred of hours every week, you know?
Never know.
But when you ask me in 10 years or 20 years, ask me and I will still tell you, I am just getting started. And you're just, I see life more as an education, more than, you know, just like day to day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, time plays such a critical factor, and art to me represents that lack of attachment. Because imagine, you know, being an artist and you can't attach your emotions to the outcome because you're allowing this to come through you. You couldn't tell me what it's gonna look like before. So every day is a new day. You're taking inventory every day. You're acting upon it. And, you know, for me, one of the greatest things of the art in your art is it represents to me compound interest. And maybe I have a very mathematical mind. I think one of the biggest detriments to people is that they want to attach their emotions to an outcome, which I did for years, right? I'll be happy when I graduate this, when I make this, when this girl does this, right? Everything was attached to an outcome. And then once I realized, why not enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent pursuit of the potential? And what changed my life was probably what an artist thinks, is that every day compounds upon itself. And the problem with the pragmatic painting and the pragmatic world, the material that you see, is you don't see anything when you're an artist or if you're a viewer of art until it's 90% of the way done. Right? So all the real work of your sculpture, if I asked you, you know, it's 75% of the way there, you know, what it looks like, it won't look like anything. And I saw one of your paintings in the house studio when I went.
Yeah.
And I asked you, how close to done? And you're like, I don't know, I'm like halfway there. And it looked like nothing. And the reason that's so important is that if what you're putting into that painting is positive, you have to be 90% of the way there till you see the positive result. You have to have so much faith, right? How long did the sculpture take, for example?
So I actually did like the...
I know it was done like 24 hours before this started.
It was delivered here the day before the opening night. And I did the sketch for the sculpture, I think like in November or something. Yeah. And we worked on it like all the way up to the very day before.
Think about what you want in your life. and going every single day, 12, 16, 20 hours a day. And what happens is, I always say, compound interest or aggregate behavior works in negative favor. What does that mean? If you're using alcohol and drugs, not working out, it's not until 90% of the way there that you see a negative result. And the reason is, you don't expect a negative result. If you're smoking every day, you don't expect to die of cancer. If you're eating bad foods every day, you don't expect to have a heart attack. But it's too late, 90% of the way down. But the same math works in the positive direction. So when you have these positive emotions and positive thoughts, you have to have a lot of faith, because when you're doing something positive, unlike when you're something negative, you do something negative, you don't expect a negative result. Oh, I'm invincible, I can do it. But when you do something positive, for whatever reason, we immediately think we should be getting a result. I've worked out all week, I've dieted all week, I've been studying hard for a whole week. Right, I always use Spanish as an example. You study 15 minutes a day in Spanish, you're gonna be damn good at Spanish by the end of the semester. But everybody thinks they can study at the end and learn Spanish. No, it's aggregated. It works in the negative behavior, not the positive. So you gotta have faith. And I think every great piece of art shows an artist that has faith, that has utilized faith as the ultimate GPS, the super GPS that not only reroutes you when you get off at the wrong exit, or you have a flat tire, or you end up at the donut shop instead of the gym, but it actually changes your destination. And he actually stated that earlier, that his destination is always changing. Your destination can only change for the better situation, or make your situation better, if you simply have faith as a currency to blend it with money as a currency. And the object of energy you put into flow to get what you want. The object of energy that you put into the flow to get what you want. This is the currency of faith. An artist's material presentation is, to me, a representation of that flow state of faith. Any last thoughts?
A lot. We don't have the time for all my thoughts.
One more is good.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the baseball card thing? Because I think that's the coolest thing ever.
Let's do it. We're about to wrap it up here, guys. Thank you so much.
The only guy on earth that doesn't even know baseball to do this just kills me. He's like, go to see Tatis Jr. I'm going to see Ken Griffey Jr. I'm going to see Mariano Rivera. Tell him what you're doing.
How many of you are into baseball cards, but I was very fortunate that I got contacted by Topps, and they made sports collectibles, and they wanted me to do like a really cool project, which is called Project 70, where I get to choose like my own baseball players from the MLB league, and to reimagine baseball cards that never were. So I could choose like a baseball player back from the 50s and the 60s and pair that with a top design from 2000 and create like unique designs. And it's just interesting because I never imagined that I would work with like Topps. I also work with Bentley, American Express, LinkedIn, Nike, Google. I never, like, saw my design being on the baseball cards and people be so excited about it. To give you some perspective, this past January, an auction record was set for a Mickey Mantle Wookiee card for $5.2 million. So it's a very crazy market of not only like physical collectibles, but also digital collectibles, such as NFTs that most of you probably have heard about. And since it's just you here, I think we are close friends. I can tell you that something in the NFT world is going down soon from my side as well. So I think I will leave it with that.
All right.
Little inside information for you guys. Thank you, really, for listening to me and David. Pleasure to having
you.
Please stay and stay.
Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.